الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, because we do from time to time open the Quran up. I tell you the chapter and the verse to look up so you can follow along with me as I read. And most of the time I read it in English. So again, also, you can have your paper, pencil, and pen with you, some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners, are new students to the class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's class is going to be a pretty simple class, and hopefully most of us will be able to identify what I'm talking about. Because I see a lot of this going on with people imitating people who are musicians or people who are sports figures or politicians or famous people on TV. And so a lot of people like to imitate them. And so I'm going to talk a little about imitation or imitating of others. And for example, the Muslims, our clothes cannot be form-fitted. No matter how many styles that people go through, or this is in styles and that kind of thing, or the tight-fitting pants with the tight jackets, that kind of thing for men, or the suits, whatever. And so that's not the style of the Muslim, because for the male or the female, because our clothing style should not be form-fitting. And also, men should not be wearing the clothing that women wear, and women should not be wearing the clothing that men wear, and it cannot be see-through. So you have those few criteria when it comes to the dress. No matter how in the dress is, how cool they are, how fashionable they are, it doesn't matter. I don't care if 1,000 people are wearing see-through clothing. We as Muslims, we cannot imitate them with see-through clothing. I don't care if 1,000 people wear tight clothing. We cannot do this. Or 1,000 men are wearing the clothing of women, and 1,000 women are wearing the clothing of men. We cannot do that and imitate these people, because it's against us as Muslims and against the rites and rituals pertaining to Islam. And the root in what you call the rules and regulations of Islam, we cannot break them, no matter who else is doing them. Even our leaders are doing this kind of thing. We cannot follow that leader and do what they said, what they're doing, because they're all talking about and that they're doing something wrong. Because in the hellfire, it will be asked. People will see their leaders in the hellfire, and they will say to the leader, "Say, hey, didn't you warn us about such and such, such and such, and not to do such and such? Why are you here? Why are you in hell with us?" And then the leader would say something similar to, "Well, yes, I used to warn you all not to do such and such, but then again, I did the thing myself, and that's why I'm where I am now. Now with you in the hellfire, because I disobey Allah and didn't follow the rules and regulations of Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. I did not adhere to that as I instructed you to adhere to it." In Islam, you might have all the people around you that have girlfriends and boyfriends, but in Islam, there's no such thing. We cannot have girlfriend and boyfriend. I cannot have a girlfriend, or I can have another woman in my life, for example, if that I marry her. I only can have up to 4 wives, but it's best for me to have one if I knew best. But if I'm going to have 4 wives, I have to be able to take care of them, not them take care of me, or have, for example, I have one wife I'm taking care of rightly, and the other ones I'm taking care of, the state is providing for them. I'm really not taking care of her or them, because the state is providing assistance to my wife. And we cannot have girlfriends and boyfriends. And what I'm going to continue with that particular topic, and that is, no, we cannot do that. We have a certain procedure that we do. Think, for example, I'm interested in a woman. And then I will go to her father and say, or her brother or uncle or guardian, and say, I'm interested in sister so-and-so. And so then we will sit down, we will have a talk, and then I will make attention upon her, so no other brother can make attention upon her that I am interested in marrying her. And so she can't have any other man making intentions upon her. Then we can sort of, if you want to call it a courtship, if I'm going to be with her, I'll talk to her, I should have a chaperone with her. I want to go to the movie, I get something to eat with her, I have to have a third person party with us, because what happens is, if two people are together not married, the third party becomes Shaitan. And Shaitan would do nothing but evil and bad, and but whisper to the two of you, now go ahead and hold hands, nobody looking. Go in and kiss, nobody's looking. Go ahead and hug her, no one is looking. Go ahead and have sex with her, no one is around, no one is looking. So it'll just snowball in terms of me going from doing what I'm supposed to do, doing what's right, forbidding the wrong, to easing a little bit instead, step by step, a little bit at a time, until I end up doing all kinds of haram things, of kind of forbidden things with this woman or her with me. And so we don't have that kind of situation, girlfriend and boyfriends, in Islam. And if you know a Muslim that has a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or their girlfriend and boyfriend, you need to basically pull them up on it and tell them it's not part of Islam that you're going to be a boyfriend to this person or a girlfriend to this person, because we don't have that. They may say, oh, the imam doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes, I do know what I'm talking about, and I can back it up with a lot of Quran and Hadith that says we cannot do this thing. You want to be with that individual, be right. Don't be wrong, because you're not getting away with anything, because the law can see a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So you certainly can see what you are doing. And you have two angels on your shoulders. You have one on your right shoulder and one on your left shoulder. The one on your right shoulder writing down your good deeds and what you do and what you say, and one on your left shoulder writing down your bad deeds and what you do and what you say. And then on the day of judgment, our book will be presented to us on that day, and then our book will speak for us, or for or against us. Our hands, our eyes, our feet, our nose, everything will speak for or against us. So we're not getting away with anything. What we do in the dark, it is Allah can see. Allah, He is the all-seeing and all knowing. So we can go to now to Quran chapter 22 verse 13, again chapter 22 verse 13, and basically it's saying the same thing that I'm talking about when you're talking about imitating someone. And it says, he is calling upon those who are more likely to harm than help. What an evil master and what an evil friend he chose for help. So you may be asking someone, or ask someone to befriend you that may not be good for you, or befriending someone that may not be good for you, or being buddies and friends with someone that may not be good for you. I'm going to say all good because I want this person to be my friend, so I'm going to do and imitate what this person does, all the evil they do, because I want this person to be my friend. I want to be like this person. This person is well known in the community, or well known in the school, or wherever they're well known is, or sports guy, whatever. I want to be like that individual. You want to be like anyone, you be like, and I'm going to get to this later on, you be like Omar, with the Prophet Muhammad's, the companion of Prophet Muhammad, or his father-in-law, Abu Bakr, or any of the Sahaba, be like them. You want to be like anyone. Follow what they did and how close they wanted to do the things that the Prophet ﷺ did, may peace and blessings be upon him. Try to follow and do what he did as close as possible. They want to imitate anyone, they had the best person to imitate, and that was Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Because about everything that he did, they would imitate that thing that he did, because he had the best character. And you want to get to Jannah, you want to get paradise, then you follow him. and you follow his ways and the things that he said and the things that he did. And so if you want to imitate anyone, then we follow these people that I mentioned. It is also mentioned by Abu Huraira, who is one of the Prophet's companions, and he said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, a man follows the religion of his friend. So each one should consider whom he makes his friend. So again, going back to what I was talking about, the religion of this friend, that when a friend does all kind of wrong, you're gonna follow this friend and do all kind of wrong too. And so we have to be careful who we befriend. Even within Islam itself, we have to be careful and make sure that we're befriending people who are trying to hold on to Quran. I mentioned, I think maybe even last episode, about holding on to Quran and Sunnah. Holding on to what it says in Quran, and the ways and the path and the sayings and the things that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, what he did or what he said. And follow those things, we can't go wrong. He said, I leave you two things. You follow these things, you cannot go wrong. One is Quran and one is the Sunnah. We cannot go wrong doing those things. And so even if you have a friend within Islam, and he or she is not doing proper, you guide them, you help them, you pray for them, but you don't follow them. And you don't befriend them because they have nothing but destruction for you and for them. And some people say, you probably heard this before. They say, some people may say, who are you to judge? You probably heard this thing many times before. I would say to them, I can only judge by what I see. And what is in your heart or other place inside of you, in between you and Allah. I only go judge by what I see, what you do, or what you say, or how you dress, or how you treat people. I can see that with my eyes, and I can judge accordingly. And I do have the criteria in which to judge. I can judge you according to either you doing the Quran or you're not doing the Quran. Are you doing the Sunnah or you're not doing the Sunnah? Are you doing the Quran or you're not doing the Quran? That's it. It's like there's no in between for any of us. And the book is clear, it's plain, it's very elementary for anyone to understand what you can do and what you cannot do. And so if you're not doing what the book says, I could point this out to you. For me, the same thing. I'm not doing what the book says, then you're going to point it out to me. Or you're going to say, look, brother, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or look, sister, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's what we do for our brother and for our sister. Those are the great companions and the friends that we should have. Those who are going to point out those things, our shortcomings, because they want the best for us. They want us to be in Jannah. They want us to be in paradise. They want us to be the companion in paradise, be their neighbor in paradise, and not be their neighbor in Jahannam, and not be their neighbors in the hellfire. We don't want to be anyone's neighbor in the hellfire, but I certainly want to be someone's neighbor in paradise. So if I'm doing something wrong, please tell me so I can straighten myself out and do what is right. If the Quran says dress a particular way and you dress differently from that, I can judge based on the Quranic criteria. Yes, I can judge that because Quran says dress one way. The Prophet says dress one way. You dress opposite of that, yes, or differently from that, then I can judge you. Yes, I do. I can do that. So yes, I can judge because people try to make you feel guilty by saying, who are you to judge? Then you might like kind of coward and say, well, you don't say anything because you feel, oh, they got me because they say, who are you to judge? But no, that's not the situation in Islam. I have the criteria of Quran and you're not doing it. I have the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad and you're not doing it. So yes, I can judge. If you're not dressing properly as a Muslim woman or Muslim man, I can judge you. Or you have all these tattoos that you become Muslims, I can judge you. Or you have these pieces in your head, hair, that you're not supposed to have wigs and that kind of thing. I can judge you. Or I see it's time for the salat. You have no excuse not to make the prayer, but you don't make the prayer or you don't fast. I can judge you because you're not doing what the Quran says and you're not doing what the Prophet says. So yes, I can judge you just equally you can judge me. So we can judge each other with no problem, and one not fearing the other or feeling bad towards the other because they say, oh, I got you moment. They don't have you anything. Then you just come back to them. Yes, I can judge you, because they expect you to be quiet once they said, who are you to judge? They expect you just to shut you down. Yes, I can judge you, because what it says in the Quran, you are not doing. And you're not doing to down a person. You're doing it just to bring to their attention. They're not doing it. And they may appreciate the fact that you brought this to their attention. And maybe, inshallah, God willing, Allah willing, they will start doing that thing that they were not doing. Also, the Quran says not to gamble or drink alcohol. And you do the opposite. I can judge and conclude that you are going against Quranic teaching or teaching of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. It says don't gamble. You don't gamble. You do it, you're going against Quran. It's a no. You say don't drink alcohol. You do it. Or don't take drugs, something like that. You do it. Or don't beat up on women or something like that. And you do it. This is all going against the teachings of Islam. You're totally going against the teachings of Islam. So yes, I can judge, and any way I can stop you from doing that, I would attempt to stop you from doing that. Also, it was mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a Sunni tradition. He said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Allah will mingle your hearts together and curse you as he cursed them. And that is basically talking about us, the friends that we be with, the people that we be with. We don't want Allah to mingle our hearts with those people who are not good people for us. We want to be around people and imitate people that's going to be good for us and doing the Quran and doing the Sunnah and those people who are the good people and God-fearing people. And it mentioned one thing of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. He mentioned about the company that we keep and how we imitate and how they impact us. It's like if I'm around a person who is, say, for example, a blacksmith who has this soot all around, not just blacksmith, anybody that works with soot or garbage, anything like that. That smell or whatever it is may go from them and get on you. Or a person who is perfume, sells perfume or something like that, then that smell or whatever may get on you, that behavior may get on you. And it might even offer to give you some of that perfume or give you a little taste of it or even give you that perfume that they put on, that order that they put on. So you can also smell like them today and maybe at a later time. And so the thing is, we have to be careful who we pick as our friends, because we may get that soot or whatever it is from the bad person, or the bad behaviors from them may spill onto us. Or we hang around good people, we may get that good smell, that good behavior and character of that person. It may seep onto us, and that's certainly what we want to happen. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, the hour will not be established till my followers copy the deeds of previous nations and follow them very closely, span by span, cubit by cubit, inch by inch. It was said, O Allah's apostle, do you mean by those nations, meaning the one, the Byzantine and the Persians? The prophet said, who can it be other than them? And other people before us, we're trying to be like them, or we're trying to be similar to them, and that we follow them. Or even the ones we're around right now, that we follow them inch by inch. They have a new dress, tight clothing, we wear tight clothing. Tomorrow they wear see-through clothing, we wear see-through clothing. Tomorrow the men wear clothing of women, the women wear the clothing of men. We do the same thing that they're doing. We're imitating them, and from the Islamic standpoint, from the deen standpoint, that is not what we do. Because it mentions that we as Muslims, we are the best of the people. And that we don't necessarily follow others. Others are to follow us. We are the best of the people. Why? Because we enjoy what is right and forbid what is wrong. It's simple. That's all. We are the best amongst the people, all of mankind. The Muslims are. I mean, you might say, oh, Imam, you bragging, whatever. This is the criteria. And we are the best of the peoples. Why? Are the people why? Because we enjoy what is right and we forbid what is wrong. That makes us the best of the people. And we want people to follow us more so than we follow the people. Also, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he said, I do not know how long I shall remain among you. So copy those two who will remain after I'm gone, meaning Abu Bakr and Umar, which the ones I mentioned earlier about you want to follow someone, follow the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, or you follow his companions, Abu Bakr and Umar, where he specified and he mentioned, I'm not going to be gone. I'm not going to be around too long. So after I'm gone, you follow these two. One, Abu Bakr, he, after the Prophet died, he was the next leader amongst the Muslims. And he adhered to what the Muslims are supposed to do. They did not want to pay zakat or pay the taxes or the charity. He made sure they did so. They wanted to try to establish different prophets after Prophet Muhammad. He fought against those people and said, no. Prophet Muhammad is a khutb al-Nabiyyin. He is a seal of the prophet. He is the last prophet, and I'm going to fight against you because he was the last prophet, and there be no prophet after him. And so he fought against them, keeping Islam established in the right manner, the way the prophet had established. He made sure it was established in the same manner. And then he mentioned about Umar. Umar, you should read about this man. He done so many great things for the Muslim and really spread Islam throughout the land in Egypt and in Syria and Persia, all over the land beyond Arabia at the time. And he was also the one that established the first police force and also first post office. He established a lot of things amongst the Muslims. He the ones that say, look. And when the man said, look, how do I judge? He said, go to Quran. And I can't find it there. You go to the Prophet Muhammad. I can't go there. Then you go to Sahaba. Or you go to the learned ones. I can't go there. And you're not going to find the answer there. And then you do the best you can. But it's better for you to do to judge. Just leave it alone. That's the best thing for you to do. This was the kind of man, the man that he was, and the kind of leader that he was. That if he would walk around, Abu Bakr would say they walk around town to find out who was in need, who needed firewood, who needed clothing, who needed food, he needed whatever. He would make sure that they got it. This is the kind of leader that he was. Do we have that kind of leadership now? You be the judge. I'm concerning that. But Prophet Muhammad, he said, you want to imitate anyone after me, after I'm gone, imitate these two people, Abu Bakr Siddiq, and also Umar ibn al-Khattab. Let's go to the next thing. It was also narrated by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he also mentioned basically the same thing I mentioned before. He said, when I am gone, copy these two of my companions, Abu Bakr and Umar. Follow the guidance of Amir and hold fast to the injunction of Ibn Abdullah, Huzaifa's virgin says, believe what Ibn Mas'ud tells you instead of hold fast to the injunction of Ibn Abdullah. So you see here again, just basically saying the same thing about Abu Bakr and about Umar and find the guidance of Amir. And so an injunction of Ibn Abdullah. So just telling you about the Sahaba, about the companions of the Prophet. Read about them for yourself. You have to be Muslim to read about them. Read about them for yourself. Abu Bakr or Umar. Read about those guys. Read about the companions and how they were as human beings. They were just like you and just like me, basically. The Prophet, he was special. He was the chosen one to be the Prophet, the last Prophet sent to all of mankind. But these other brothers and sisters too, they were similar to us, similar to you and similar to me, but they were dedicated to Islam, and they're going to imitate anyone, imitated the Prophet. Prophet said, you're going to imitate anyone, imitate these people. That those are the ones that that you should imitate. And it's also mentioned, I just want to read a couple more things, and then I will stop. And so it was mentioned also that I remember that one time that Umar, that he had a copy of, I think he had a copy of the Torah, and he was reading it, and the Prophet Muhammad, this is the Torah, the Jewish book, and so he was reading it, and the Prophet Muhammad, like his face kind of turned, and then he, And then Abu Bakr said to him, said, Umar, do you see the Prophet Muhammad? He kind of changed his behavior, his face trying to turn red, if you will, because you're reading the book of this book that came before the Quran. And then the Prophet mentions to Umar, he said, you know, Umar, look, if Musa was here, who the one that basically brought to the people, to the people, the Torah, that he would follow him. He will follow his ministry, if you will, his prophetic ministry. He will follow him. And so he came, really, the Quran came to as a revision, if you will, of all the books that came before it, and then some. Because man had guidance from the Bible, and then they kind of went astray. So then Allah from the Torah, then they went astray. And so Allah sent the last revelation to mankind to put them on Sirat al-Mustaqim, to put them on a straight path. Hopefully they will not go astray again. But if they do, too late. This is the last chance that mankind has to get on Sirat al-Mustaqim, to get on the right path towards Allah. That mean following the Quran, the right guidance, called the Kitabullah, Kalamullah, the Book of Allah, the words of Allah, in his last revelation to mankind, get on board with this. Because when you get on board with this, you cannot go wrong. You want to imitate anything, imitate what's in the Quran. You want to imitate anyone, imitate Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing and be upon him. And of course, my students, please, I want to emphasize to you, follow Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar if you want to imitate anyone. Please imitate them. That Muslims are not to drink, not to do drugs, and they're not to gamble. Those Muslims who are doing that, don't imitate them. If you decide to become Muslim, be Muslim according to Quran and Hadith, saying the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing will be upon him. You're not going by people, because Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, they're both are accurate. They're both good. They're both of the two that you follow. But not so following a person who, okay, they say they're Muslim. Because they may not be doing what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to do, I'm sorry. And so you have to follow the Quran. At the Prophet said, I leave two things. He didn't say, I leave this man, this woman, that one for you to follow. No, he said, I leave two things for you. I leave Quran and I leave my Sunnah. And you follow these things, you cannot go wrong. You want to get to paradise? You want to get to Jannah? This beautiful place where you never die, you live forever, you're always young, anything that you want, need or desire, you get it there. Then you follow Quran, imitate the Quran, and you follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. So my beautiful, beautiful students, please, you're going to imitate anyone, rethink it, learn more about what the Prophet Muhammad said to do, and what not to do, and follow that. You have been listening to, I want to remind you all of this, is that if you want more information about Islam, go to Why Islam. More learning in Islam, you can go and become a student at International Online University, or become a student with American Open University. I always mention these two universities because I went to both of them. and I learned a lot of information from both of them. And most of what I tell you is from my experience as a Muslim. I've been Muslim since 1976, and also these schools have offered me a lot of degrees and scholarly information about Islam. Yeah, I've been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Thank you very much for listening and attending the class. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.